Well, good morning. God is good. And all the time. Amen. It is a joy to be here this morning. As we all know, we are celebrating Thanksgiving this at the end of this week. And I pray that all of you have a wonderful time with family and friends during this time. I also pray that we would remember those who have loved ones who have passed. And this is a very difficult time for many of them. And so let's be praying for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ during these days. With Thanksgiving this weekend, we have no prayer this Monday. I will not be here. Wednesday night, we do not have a midweek service or worship time. So please put that on your calendar. If you show up Wednesday night, you're going to think the rapture happened. Because even Brother Randy won't be here. So, you know, like, make sure that you put that on your calendar. And then our office will be closed starting sometime on Tuesday for the rest of the week. At the end of our worship time today, we're going to have people that will be handing out an Advent devotional guide. This is a devotional guide that's been written by different members of Luke 4:18 Fellowship. And so each of us, as you leave today, grab one of these. We have enough for each adult to have one. But please, if you don't think that one of your kids is going to actually read this, don't let them get one just because we only have about 400, 450 of them. But as you grab one of these on your way out, we're going to start on December 1st. Actually, November 30th, and we'll go day by day together. I pray that you'll pick these up. Super excited. You'll see the picture of the member next to the page on the page where they wrote it. And so it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. I'm just so thankful for Bobby and his work in this, and then our office staff also working really hard to have this for each of you. And so let's take advantage of this wonderful Advent time as we seek the Lord together. Also, our Christmas night of worship is coming up on December 15th. Brother Aaron will share a little bit more about that, 6 p.m. We're only doing one time, and so this place will probably be filled, so make sure you're here on time early. We may even have some of you park in the grass area up top just to give more parking areas and space. Brother Aaron will tell you, make sure you bring 15 of your closest friends with you. And he'll share a little bit more about that. Our South Asia team has made it all the way to their destination. It's taken a long time, so praise the Lord. I have to give you an update, though, because first off, the team is doing great. As far as I have been told, everybody on the team is healthy and tired. But at least they're healthy. But they are there. But many of you know that because it's Thanksgiving and they don't have turkey in this area, Brother Randy took two frozen turkeys with him in his bags. They made it. They got all the way there and he opened up his bag and there were still two turkeys. Now, I don't know if they were still frozen, but there was two turkeys. And so we were just so thankful. Let's be praying for our team while they're there. They're there the next 8 to 10 days. Going to be starting ministry. They're sleeping right now because it's in the it's like 11 o'clock at night there. So they're sleeping right now, and they're going to get up and start ministry in the morning. Let's be praying for them. Remember, this is so important. Don't post anything on Facebook or any type of social media about our team. Just very, very important. And then last, if you are here today and you are interested or you have signed up to go to Turkey with us in next fall, I'm going to have about a 5-minute meeting right after worship today. So if you're interested or if you have signed up to go, please, please, please see me afterwards. We'll meet right down here. I need about 5 minutes. Very important. And I look forward to sharing with you just all about what the Lord's doing as it comes to our journeys in Europe. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Brother Aaron, we're going to get started today. Father, you are so good, and we just praise your holy name. Lord, I thank you for getting our team there safely. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just use them mightily for your kingdom and for your glory. Father, I pray today that as we come into this place that we would worship in spirit and in truth. Prepare our hearts right now, Father. If there's anything that is preventing us from worshiping you today, Lord, I pray that we would lay that before you, Lord, that we would seek your forgiveness and repentance today, Lord, and that we would worship today in spirit and in truth. Father, we love you so much, and we give you all glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us today. Every November, we have a tradition that we do, which is a thankfulness chain. So we write down things we're thankful for, and we do that every day in November, and then hang that up in the house as a Thanksgiving decoration. And one of the things that we put down this year is that we are so thankful for each and every one of you guys as our Luke 418 family. And I also wrote down on there right below it how hard our choir and our orchestra have worked on their Christmas music this year. We're so thankful for them. And we want you guys to invite people to come on December 15th at 6 p.m. We're going to have our worship night entitled No Other King. And the best way to invite someone is to give them a ticket, okay? Not like a speeding ticket, but this one right here, if you call the office and say, I need 20 tickets, you don't need a ticket to get in. If you come up to the door and say, I don't have a ticket, they're not going to send you away, okay? But we want to use these to give them out to our neighbors and our friends so that they know when, where, and how they can get involved with our worship night. And it truly will be. It is a good mix of great songs that we're going to offer to the Lord as choir special musics, but also some new congregational songs that we're going to sing. We're always looking for new Christmas music, a new way to say that Emmanuel, our God, is with us. Amen. So today we do focus on thankfulness, and we're going to do that now. Why don't you stand and say what you're thankful for this morning as we begin to sing. We bring the sacrifice.
We bring the sacrifice of praise.
Today. He gives us that testimony not just to keep it to ourselves, though, right? It's to be a testament of what God has done in our lives and what He can do for everyone around, too, right? Let's sing this together, that everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing, but not the love that this world gives, but the love of God. Let's sing this together.
Everyone needs compassion, the love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Sing Savior.
Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
Thank you, God. So take me as you find me.
So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow.
Sing this.
Everything I believe in.
For what you did on the cross, for giving us salvation and new life, and we pray that we would freely bestow that grace to all those around, that we would let our light shine this morning. Let's sing together.
Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see.
We're going to sing this song called What He's Done. It came out maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and we sang it at a worship night a couple summers ago, but we wanted to reintroduce it to you today. A part of that testimony is remembering the gospel together and how that applies to our lives, and Heidi's going to lead us today.
See, on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free.
Seated as we continue in worship today. But the knowledge of that great and wonderful salvation is nothing if we don't give our life and our all to our Savior. So today, collectively, as the family of God, we want to say, God, everything is yours. And if I'm keeping anything back, this is the moment where I lay that down. So if anything is it between you and God today, lay that down as we sing this song.
Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender, this is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender, and I will make room. Whatever you want to do, whatever. whatever you want to, and I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down, every burden, every crown. This is my surrender,
surrender today.
This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down, every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. I will make room for you to do whatever you want to do whatever you want to, and I will make room. Whatever you want to do whatever you want to.
Sing, here is where.
Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all. This is my surrender.
God, we are so thankful for the way that you have saved us, that you forgave us our sin when there is no way that we could have come back to you, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And though we've created some of these traditions, Lord, that we hold to so tightly, we pray that you would break that up and say, this is what the Bible says. This is what I'd have you to do. This is where I'd have you to go. We want to get to know you better each and every day and grow in you together as the body of Christ in unity and community together. And we pray even now as we have a missions team on the other side of the world, Lord, that we would go in you to all places, Lord, and share that good news, Lord, that you are the one that we hold to, that you are the one that deserves our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, our relationships, our financial situation, Lord. Everything that we are is yours. We pray today that your Holy Spirit would lead us to those that we need to tell our story to, even over this Thanksgiving week, Lord, and that lives will be changed for the gospel and turned around to do what you want us to do, be new creations in Christ. We pray for that this week, and that we do those good things that you've laid out for us to do. It's in your beautiful name that we pray. Jesus Christ. Amen.
If the ship of your life is tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. If you feel so all alone and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights, and things just won't turn out right, and you need someone to care and someone to just be there, you need someone. I give you Jesus.
Jesus,
He's the peace that passes all understanding. I give you the perfect love that casts it all afield. Oh, I give you Jesus.
Jesus,
He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you pressures all around keep your spirits to the ground. You need someone, and if your health, your body's in pain, and your health you can't regain. When you have tried with all the strength you have inside, and it seems that you have failed, remember on the cross He nailed all that bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet relief. Oh, He is that someone that you need.
Wow, that was an incredible song. You know, as I was sitting there thinking, many of y'all know, if you were here Wednesday night, this has been a hard week for many of our family and friends who attend here at Luke 4:18. And when you're in some of the most difficult days, all we can do is give people Jesus. It's all we have. For he is the peace that surpasses all understanding. I cannot give words in difficult situations that can answer all the struggles and the whys. But I can give people Jesus. And what a powerful song. You know, I want to begin with just praying. Many of y'all heard that this week the University of Mobile lost a basketball player who passed away suddenly. And then we also had a family here who was just a few days of anticipating and excitement of a newborn child found out that the child had passed. And so this has been a difficult week, but I want to lift up all the students at UM, the families, the family of the young man. I want to pray for the team. I want to pray for the family that has walked through such difficult pain this week. As I walked into the hospital room, and literally all I could do was speak Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Father, you are a good, good Father. And Lord, it's in moments of death, Lord, that I believe everybody in this room is even more thankful in those moments for the salvation that we have in none other than Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, for the University of Mobile. Father, I pray for all the students, the friends. Lord, I pray for the family of Caden, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Father, that doesn't mean that there's not emotions, for you created us with emotions. But Father, I pray that you would strengthen the family today to see that you are the Prince of Peace. Father, I pray for all the students there. I pray for the basketball team, Lord, that you would comfort their hearts, Lord, and give them strength to carry on, to press forward for in this season, but also, Lord, for your kingdom and for your glory. Father, I pray, Lord, for the family here today who, Lord, has so excited about a child being born and had the pain and the sorrow. Overcome them, Lord. I pray, Father, that they would seek you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their might. It says in the scripture that you are near the brokenhearted. You are the comforter. Well, Father, I pray, Lord, today, no matter what we come in with pain and hurt or excitement and joy, but I pray today, Lord, that we will all seek your face. The great I am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. As we saw last week, if you're suffering, pray. If you're cheerful, pray and sing songs. Father, may we cry out to you today as a body of Christ. May we lift up the arms of those hurting through prayer. And Father, we want your name to be lifted high and glorified. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, as you are turning, we're going to be in your Bibles, James chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 14 through 18 today. But as you're turning to those pages in Scripture, I do want to just say, as we just prayed for the University of Mobile, I believe their next home game is December 14th, and I would love to see all of you there. So come and be a part with us. I'll be there. Love for you to all come and be there. Let's go and support the team. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. Last week we began this in looking at verses 12 and 13. Here Paul, as he's beginning to close the sermon or the message of James. Why? I do that the whole time. I've done that all year. As James begins to close his letter, he is talking about the importance of prayer. Last week, we saw that we're called to pray during suffering. We're called to pray in joyous times. We're called to rejoice even in suffering. We're called to rejoice even in joyous times. Why? Because God is with us. As the song just said, I give you Jesus. Jesus is with us. I've shared with you multiple times that the disciples on the boat, when the storm came and they wake Jesus up and said, hey, we're going to die. And Jesus was like, oh, you have little faith. And what he was telling them was, hey, the great I am, the creator is with you on the boat. Why fear? Why worry? We can rejoice even in the most difficult of times because we have a God who loves us. He is sovereign. He is the great I am, and he is doing something in the midst of our suffering. He is doing something in the midst of our suffering. James then goes on to speak this in verse 14 through 18. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call on the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayers offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would illuminate the pages today, give us wisdom and guidance, that we would place this into our hearts and mind and walk in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this passage, I think that this passage is often misunderstood. Sometimes people will say, okay, the passage here says, go to the elders if they anoint with oil, which I have oil here today. If they anoint with oil, and if we just believe enough, then we will be healed. You may even see this is kind of done in our, not ours, but on TV evangelists do this sometimes, and they begin to have healing services. You may have seen those before, but you have to understand that these healing services that they do oftentimes has a very, they play off of people's emotions often. And when somebody isn't healed, what do they often say? You didn't have what? Enough faith. So I think that sometimes we take this passage out of context. And so today, in looking at this passage, I want to go backwards. Now, I know if you got the notes on our bulletin that we send out on Fridays, if you don't get the bulletin, you can sign up for that at the lobby. But in our bulletins, we started off with point number one is pray with the elders. Point number two is pray with the church. And point number three is the example of Elijah. I want to flip this upside down, and let's start with the example of Elijah, because I believe that the example of Elijah will help us grasp what is being spoken at the beginning of the passage. There's a couple things that we see about Elijah in this passage. First, as we go into this in verse 16, it starts off by saying the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And then he gives this reflection or this example. So we see that Elijah was, like verse 16, a righteous man. What does this idea of a righteous man mean? Well, I don't often quote the Message Bible, but I thought it was interesting how the Message speaks this. It says in this verse, the Message Bible says, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. The prayer of a person living right. Righteous, or the prayer of a righteous man, or as Elijah being a righteous man, is one who is living right according to the word of God. One who is seeking God first and God alone. As the scripture says, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. It says that our righteousness is but filthy rags. But the scripture tells us that Jesus bore our sin on the cross so that we may have the righteousness or the rightful standing of Christ. So what do we see here? But righteous, a man of righteousness, or one who is righteous, is one who is living according to the Word of God, yet allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell within them, and they are abiding in Christ. Last week we talked about the importance of prayer, and we said that we must have a heart that is pure before God. Church, the scripture even says in James chapter 4, verse 3, it said, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you spend it on your pleasures. And church, for us to cry out to the Lord, we must start by making sure that we have a heart that is pure before the Lord. This is why Psalm 24 is one of my favorite passages. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord and who can stand in his holy place? But he who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood or sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, that seek your face, O God of Jacob. And church, do we recognize that Elijah was a righteous man who recognized that he must have a heart that is pure before the Lord? So when we come to the Lord in prayer, if we want to follow the example of Elijah, we must first make sure that our heart is pure. A second, it says this in verse 17, Elijah was a man like ours, and he prayed earnestly. Two things there. One is that he was a man like us. The Message Bible again says this very, very well. It says, Elijah, for instance, human, just like us, prayed hard that it would not rain. Church, sometimes we look at Elijah and we read about Elijah and we see the story of Elijah and the fire falling down on Mount Carmel, and we begin to put him way up here and saying, hey, he was just different than us. But the scripture says that he was just like us, but his heart was pure before the Lord. See, the scripture is saying that what you recognize in the life of Elijah can happen in your life as well, because it's the same God that did it in and through Elijah is the same God that will do things in and through your life. He was just like us, and he prayed earnestly. He prayed with passion. He prayed consistently. He was praying without ceasing. Or as the message says, he prayed hard. He was persistent in prayer. Luke 11, verses 5 through 10, we see this parable. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answered and said, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be open. Church, Elijah was a man that had a pure heart before the Lord. Elijah was a man who earnestly sought the Lord. He was persistent, crying out to God, passionate in his prayers to the Lord. But there's a third thing that we want to see here, and that is that Elijah prayed according to God's will. And I think this is the most important part of this passage. Elijah prayed according to God's will. It says in verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. You say, well, David, how did he know that it was God's will for it not to rain? Great question. I'm glad you asked. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, the Lord gives through Moses a warning. He says, beware that your hearts are not deceived, and that you do not turn away and serve other gods and worship them. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Or Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 and 24. But it shall come about that if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Speaking of the curses, jump down to 24. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder and dust. For heaven it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. What was going on in the nation when Elijah speaks this? Many of y'all heard of Jezebel. Jezebel had a big influence and basically was saying, hey, we need to have all these other gods. We need to worship these other gods. And many of you have heard the story of Mount Carmel and what took place there. But Elijah said, hey guys, we're going to just have a little competition, a little friendly competition. We're going to build an altar, and you're going to try to bring down fire from heaven to light the altar with your gods. And I'm going to bring down fire. I'm going to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to bring down fire to light this altar. Church, we must recognize that when Elijah prayed and asked the Lord to shut up the rain, they were in a situation where the nation of Israel was following false gods. The nation of Israel was turning away from Yahweh. And Elijah knew what the scripture said. The scripture said that if you turn and if you follow other gods, then God will shut up the rain. And so what Elijah is doing is simply crying out according to God's holy word and trusting that God's word will come to fruition. This is a heart that's pure before the Lord, saying, hey, you said it. I believe it. And I'm going to follow it. I'm going to follow your truths and your words. You know, it's interesting that at the end it says, first he said he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed and what happened? It rained. Well, interesting, what happens at Mount Carmel, right? Fire comes down. Well, first off, Elijah kind of mocks the others, right? He says, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe your God's on vacation. You know, maybe you need to just be a little bit more passionate, a little bit more exciting. Maybe he'll come. But then Elijah says, Father, show them today. What happens is the fire of God falls down, and the prophets of Baal and Asheroth are destroyed, not from the fire, but ultimately they get taken down to the valley. And we begin to see the nation of Israel coming back towards the Lord. Well, isn't it interesting? In Deuteronomy 28:1, now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, be careful to do all of his commands, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. Verse 12, the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give what? Rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Interesting. What was Elijah doing? He had a heart pure before the Lord. He earnestly sought the Lord and he prayed according to the will of God. How did he know God's will? Because he obviously understood and knew Scripture. Church, for us to grasp the part before this, we must be righteous before the Lord. Now, we can't do that in our own power. We have to do that in the strength of God. He does that through the blood of Jesus and filling us with the Holy Spirit of promise that we can come before the throne of God. Why? Because he has cleansed us with his blood. The veil has been torn, right? And we can confidently come before the throne. We must earnestly and persistently cry out to God. And we must pray according to Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus gives the disciples, how do we pray? And many people call it the Lord's Prayer, which to me, this is not the Lord's Prayer. You go and you can see the Lord's Prayer when he prays for us. I believe that's John 17. Here he's showing us a model, an understanding of how to pray. And he begins by saying in Matthew chapter 6, he says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, what? Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Pray this way. When you pray, he's telling the disciples and ultimately telling us today, when you pray, pray that God's will be done. You say, but what if I want something different? Church, when we pray, we must make sure that our heart is pure before the Lord so that we pray the will of God. That's why Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, so many people speak this second half of the verse. They'll say, God will give us the desires of our heart. But what does it say before that? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. The key to this passage is that we must delight our heart in the Lord. When we are so delighted in Christ, then our desires are going to be what God desires. Our desires is going to be that God's name is glorified in and through my life, no matter what that looks like, no matter what that takes me through. We can truly sing the song, it is well with my soul, because we say, no matter my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. No matter the lot, no matter what I go through in life, my goal is to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. My goal in life does not need to be to promote myself. My goal in life doesn't need to be, I want to be successful financially. My goal in life doesn't need to be all these temporal things. My goal in life as a born-again believer is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. But the only way that we can get to that place is when we delight in the Lord. I love what one pastor says, is that the greatest way to bring glory to the name of Jesus is when his children fully delight in him. When you are so delighted in the Lord, it reflects to others that your delight is not in the things of this temporal world, but your delight is in the great I am, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So let me just go back before we get into this. And you may say, David, I'm looking at the time. Don't worry. This was the main part. We had to get this. The example of Elijah is one who had a heart pure before the Lord, one who was righteous. He continued to pray earnestly, or as I like to say, persistent, continuing to knock on the door. And he prayed the will of the Father. So now let's jump back to the first point of this message. It says, we are called to pray with the elders. It says, if anyone is sick among you, then he is to call the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Church, this is a powerful statement here, and it's not simply that pastors or elders have some supernatural power. We're all a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood for God's own possession. What it's saying here is that we are called to walk in humility and asking and crying out to the elders to pray for us. Oftentimes when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor David, I know the scripture says to call on the elders and pray, and I'm coming to you and asking for prayer. One of the first things usually that comes out of my mouth is, I'm so thankful that you're walking in obedience to God's word. Now, I know that it's been a little while since I've shared my testimony, but many of you know that this coming up July will be 15 years that I've been healed from myasthenia gravis. I am symptom-free, medicine-free, for the glory of God and God alone. Now, I want you to know that as I begin to speak this, I'm going to share some of my story and some of my testimony, but I want you to hear what the Lord has done in and through this and teaching me on this passage. The first thing I want you to know, just even about my story, was that when we were 15 years ago, and I see some in the room that were there with me, when we were there at Super Summer, Alabama, and my wife and I had been praying for healing and just praying that God would give me strength with the disease that I had, even though it was non-curable, and even though they said that it was progressive, I had been praying, just trusting the Lord, believing in the Lord. I was not at Super Summer, Alabama, looking for healing. I was there because some of our students wanted to go, and so I took them. And the very first night we were there, the Lord put on my heart, go ask the elder, go ask the pastor, the one who is speaking, go ask him to pray for you. Even in that moment, I didn't know what to ask him to pray for me for. But I said, Lord, I'm here for the students. I'm good. The next day, felt the same thing in my heart. I said, Lord, I'm good. Continue each day, and that same pride was swelling up in me, right? Lord, I'm here for the kids. I'm here for the students. But on the last day, right before we were leaving to go get on the van, because we didn't have a group big enough for a bus, the Lord put on my heart, and I remember as if he spoke it audibly, though nobody around me heard anything. The Lord said to me, David, how are you going to teach others to walk in obedience if you yourself will not walk in the obedience of God's call? And it was when that was said to me that I told the team, hey, y'all go on to the van. I need to go talk with somebody. I found the pastor of the church, or the pastor that was here in town to speak. And I said, hey, I don't know you. You don't know me, but you're supposed to pray for me. And he said, okay, that's awesome. What am I supposed to pray for you for? I said, I have no idea. He said, well, if the Lord wants me to pray for you about something, then there's got to be something. So I told him, I said, well, now that I think about it, I have a non-curable disease that I've had for several years. I'm on massive medicines. They say it's going to progress, and it's incurable. He goes, well, let's pray. Many of y'all know the story. He placed his hand here on my chest just to pray, just out of a normal, just, hey, I'm going to put my arm on that person and pray for them. And as he began to pray, I audibly felt fire fall down from heaven. And before I could speak anything, with tears coming out of my eyes, just weeping, before I could say anything, he said, David, do you feel that? I said, yes. And he goes, I feel heat coming out of your chest. I never told him that. I get in the car after this, and I call Brother Fred. I said, Brother Fred, I don't know what's going on. He said, David, I haven't heard of fire falling down that often, but every time I've heard of it, somebody's been healed. I called Tom Casalera. I said, what do I do? He goes, you go to the doctor. You let the doctors run tests. So I went and had the doctors run tests. And even though they said, David, I'm sorry, it's incurable, there's no reason to run tests, they ran the test. And a few days later, they called me and they said, hey, David, we can't find the disease in your body anymore. God is still in the healing business, church. But listen, I want you to hear, there was moments where I was saying no. And God's called us to walk in obedience of the call, to even ask the elders to come and to pray for you. But we have to also be very careful that we don't put so much stock in this that we are now chasing these TV pastors around. That we say, well, if I go here and if I do this, then I will be healed. Church, we're taking things out of context in that moment, and I'll explain to you why in just a second. Even I, before God removed the disease in my life, I was at a church, and they came up to me, and they were praying, and there was many people speaking in tongues in this moment, and they came up to me, and one person put his hand on me and said, "Hey, I'm going to pray for you. I know you have this disease. I'm going to pray." And he began to pray, and he began to speak a language that I could not understand, could not comprehend, and then he looked at me, and he said, "Son, you're not going to be healed because you don't have enough belief." And then he told me, "Hey, because you're not speaking in tongues, you're not saved." I wish I knew what I knew now. In that moment, I said, "Hey, listen, I believe God's called me to preach. Can I pray for you that you would be able to preach? And if you don't have that, then I'm going to say you're not saved." But that probably wasn't the best thing to say. But what I know now is that even this movement began only about 150 years ago. So what about all those previous in the Reformation? What about those in the medieval time? What about all these other areas? Now I'm just going off on a tangent there. Church, we must be careful that our heart is pure before the Lord, that we're earnestly praying, and that we are willing to accept whatever God's will is for our life. It says in there, to anoint with oil. Multiple thoughts on this have developed. Some people thought that it was medicinal because they used oil back in the day for medicinal reasons. Some people think that it's sacramental. I believe that it goes back to the scriptures that when somebody is anointed with oil, they are saying that they are being set apart. And that when we place oil on someone and anoint them with oil and praying for them, that we are basically saying, "Father, we are setting them apart for you to work in their life." But we can't get so focused on simply the healing. We can't get so focused on the oil. We need to focus on the fact that James is calling us to pray. He's calling us to pray with the elders, but then he also says down the next verse, he says, pray with the church. Pray with the church. It says in verse 14, it says, or verse 15, no, verse 16. "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that they may be healed." Church, not only are we called to come and let the elders pray over you, but we're also called to pray with one another. Not only are we called to pray with one another, but we're also called to confess our sins to one another. There's a key word in there in verse 16. It says, confess your sins to one another. Have you ever been in a prayer circle and they're asking for prayer requests? And it becomes gossip hour? Look, the passage here says that we are called to confess our sins one to another. We're called to pray together. Church, there is freedom in confessing and praying together. When somebody comes to me and they share things that are going on in their life and they're even confessing different things, I rejoice that they have reached out for help. I rejoice that they're willing to share and not sit on an island by themselves. I rejoice in the fact that now they are on a road or a path for healing because they're willing to say, "Hey, listen, I'm not going to hold this in any longer. I'm going to trust the Lord and I'm going to speak." This passage throughout from verse 14 even through verse 16 really speaks of two results that we may see from prayer. Now remember, Elijah was a righteous man who prayed earnestly, and he prayed God's will. The first thing that we see here is that we will see healing. We'll see healing. I believe that this healing that is spoken here is both spiritual and physical. Because let me tell you, if you're healed physically but not spiritually, you're still a sinner in need of a Savior and dying and going to hell. I would much rather be healed spiritually than physically alone. spiritually, we see in John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." Church, when we cry out to the Lord and we confess our sins and we submit to the Lordship of Christ, we cross over from death to life. See, oftentimes we want to see a physical healing, but do you recognize that when a sinner comes to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have gone from death to life? You have now seen a resurrection. But we get sometimes more excited about the physical healing and miss the beauty of the spiritual healing. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Church, I don't know about you, but I'm okay with not being physically healed. I'm not okay without being spiritually healed. And you all know Romans 10, 9 and 10, "If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved." Church, when we cry out to the Lord, when we pray together, when we seek the elders to ask for prayer, church, our goal is to point people to the King. And as we point people to King Jesus, their hearts are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's a spiritual healing. I also believe that we see physical healing. But I want us to remember that we don't always see physical healing. And that's okay. You may say, "Well, David, I don't understand. Why does God heal some and not others?" Listen, I don't understand it either, but I do know this, that whether I'm healed or whether I'm walking through the sickness, my goal is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. Which means it places me on the back burner and it puts Jesus in front. No matter what happens, my goal has to be to bring glory to the name of Jesus. In John chapter 9, they pass by a blind man, and Jesus tells him, he says to him, "Hey, listen, I want you to go down and I want you to dip in the water and you're going to be able to see." And the disciples were asking him, they said, "Was it this man or his parents who sinned that caused him to be blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither. It was neither, but so that the work of God may be displayed in him." Whew. So that the work of God may be displayed in him. And then down in verse 25, I love this. The Pharisees are like, who taught you all this? Or who gave you sight? And all these things. And down in verse 25, he says, "Listen, all I know is that I was blind and now I see." You say, "But David, I'm struggling. I've been praying and I haven't been healed. Is it lack of faith? Is it this? Is it that?" Listen, God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And so we need to walk through whatever situation, continuing to pray out to God, continuing to cry out earnestly, persistently, but saying, "Hey, Father, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Elijah prayed according to God's will. Can I tell you, it is God's will for you to be physically healed? Revelation 21, verses 3 through 5 tells us, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will no longer be any death, and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.'" Church, all of us were praying desperately almost 3 years ago when we heard that Brother Fred was in the hospital, asking God to heal him physically. There were people all over the world praying for Brother Fred, and in 2 days, he passed. But can I tell you, in those 2 days when he passed, he received a complete physical healing. He used to tell me all the time, David, I need to get my knees fixed. I need to get my knees fixed. And he goes, you know what? I'm not going to get my knees fixed. God's just going to have to give me some new ones. And he got them. Church, we've got to recognize that our focus can't simply be on the healing. Our focus has to be on letting God be glorified in and through our lives. And that there's a day coming that we will be healed. When we breathe our last, for those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have been born again, those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, who've been covered by the blood of the Lamb, it says that we will receive a new body. Church, it also says that we will receive forgiveness when we pray and confess. I'm just going to close with this last verse, and it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, as we close today, I want you to recognize that the scripture is very clear that we are called to walk in obedience of calling on the elders to pray. We're called to walk in obedience of praying with one another and confessing our sins one to another. But we must follow the example of Elijah. Elijah was a man like us, a pure heart, righteous before the Lord, earnestly sought the Lord, and prayed that God's will would be done. He prayed, God, I'm trusting your scripture. When I pray for someone's healing, I say, Father, I pray that you would heal this person here on this earth. But I know that the word says that there is a day that this person will be completely healed. And so I'm trusting in you and you alone. I'm trusting in you for my salvation. I'm trusting in you for healing. Because it's only in Christ that we may have complete healing.